Sally Ride receives the Medal of Freedom. NASA moves to return astronaut launch capability to the U.S. soil. And Boeing's third 787-9 is airborne. This is Aero News for Thursday, November 21st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Presidential Medal of Freedom has been posthumously awarded to Sally Ride, the first American woman in space. As a role model to generations of young women, Ride advocated passionately for science education, stood up for racial and gender equality in the classroom, and taught students from every background that there are no limits to what they can accomplish. Ride also served in several administrations as an advisor on space exploration. The award was made by President Obama in a ceremony on Wednesday. The Medal of Freedom is the nation's highest civilian honor, presented to individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interest of the United States, to world peace, or to cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. Previous astronaut recipients of the Medal of Freedom include the Apollo 11 crew of Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins, awarded with distinction in 1969. The Apollo 13 astronauts, Fred Hayes, Jim Lovell, and Jack Swigert, in 1970. And John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth, awarded in 2012. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the executive order signed by President John F. Kennedy, establishing the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Since that time, more than 500 exceptional individuals from all corners of society have been awarded the Presidential Medal. NASA took another step Tuesday to restore an American capability to launch astronauts from U.S. soil to the International Space Station by the end of 2017, subject, of course, to the availability of adequate funding. The agency's Commercial Crew Program, CCP, requested proposals from U.S. companies to complete development of crew transportation systems that meet NASA certification requirements and begin conducting crewed flights to the space station. This phase of the CCP, called Commercial Crew Transportation Capability, or CCTCAP, will enable NASA to ensure a company's crew transportation system is safe, reliable, and cost-effective. The certification process will assess progress through the production and testing of one or more integrated space transportation systems, which include rockets, spacecraft, and ground operations. Requirements under CCTCAP also will include at least one crewed flight test to the space station before certification can be granted. In other words, just like in the old days, someone with the right stuff will have to flight test the systems before they are certified. Boeing's third 787-9 Dreamliner, ZB021, is the first to be powered by General Electric Gen X engines, and it is dedicated to the new test flight effort. It recently made its first test flight. Boeing will use ZB021 to test engine performance, as well as airplane handling characteristics such as low-speed performance and braking. The 787-9 test program continues to make great progress. The fleet flies regularly, with the second airplane now in Florida for climatic testing, and has accumulated more than 180 flight hours and more than 60 flights. In addition to the three dedicated airplanes, Boeing also will conduct some testing on two production airplanes, the first of which is in final assembly now in Everett. Boeing is on track to deliver the 787-9 to its launch customer, Air New Zealand, in mid-2014. A Lear 35 flying an air medical mission from Florida to Cozumel, Mexico, went down shortly after takeoff Tuesday night, resulting in the expected fatal injury of the four people on board. Authorities have recovered the remains of two of the people from the aircraft. A search and rescue effort was underway Wednesday to locate the other two. Data from FlightAware indicates the Mexican-registered airplane reportedly departed from Fort Lauderdale International Airport at 1951 Eastern Standard Time Tuesday. By 1955, the Lear was about 100 feet off the surface of the water, and it went down in the Atlantic Ocean about a mile offshore. The Miami Herald reports that there were two pilots and two medical personnel on board the airplane. The airplane and its crew had delivered a patient to Florida and were returning to Mexico when it went down. The pilot of the airplane reported a mechanical problem and had requested a return to the airport. The plane was last registered to Air Evac International. When Aero News continues, well, at least it was Kansas. The Falcon 5X goes flying virtually, and a little honored aviation anniversary.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, November 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. There's a pilot in Kansas that has to be a little concerned about keeping his or her job after landing Boeing's Dreamlifter, a modified cargo 747 designed to haul huge airplane parts, at a general aviation airport. The Dreamlifter was headed from John F. Kennedy Airport in New York to McConnell Air Force Base in Kansas on Wednesday, but the pilot landed the behemoth at Colonel James Ibarra Airport on the northeast side of Wichita, about 12 miles from its intended destination. Ibarra Airport is an uncontrolled general aviation facility. CNN reports that a special tug had to be sent to the airport just to turn the big airplane around. The runway at the airport is a tick over 6,100 feet long. Fully loaded, the Dreamlifter requires, well, just under 9,200 feet to get off the ground. But Boeing said in a statement to television station KWCH that the airplane was capable of taking off from Ibarra's 6,101-foot runway, and it did just that. A new crew was flown in for the takeoff attempt on Thursday. Local officials closed a nearby highway as a precaution, and KWCH reported that hundreds of people came to the airport just to watch the Dreamlifter depart, which it did with about 1,000 feet of runway to spare at 14:15 Eastern Standard Time. It was flown to McConnell Air Force Base and unloaded. Dassault's Aviation Next Generation Falcon 5X has performed its first simulated flight, completing an important milestone in the development program. The flight was performed November 13th on the Falcon simulation bench at the company's design office in St. Cloud, France. The 5,200 nautical mile Falcon 5X was unveiled last month at the National Business Aviation Association convention in Las Vegas, Nevada. It will feature the largest cabin cross-section and most advanced digital flight control system in the industry. First real flight is expected in the first quarter of 2015. The Falcon simulation bench comprises a cockpit mock-up coupled to a real-time simulator and a panoramic external visualization system depicting the artificial flight environment. It allows pilots to test all phases of flight from takeoff to landing and to fine-tune and validate control laws before the maiden flight of the aircraft. Last week's virtual flight was intended to verify aircraft behavior in various flight configurations, including takeoff, cruise, and landing, under conditions equivalent to those of an actual flight, and to perform an initial run-through of the flight envelope. Today, November the 21st, is a significant anniversary in aviation, though it is little recognized. It was on this date in 1783 that French physician Jean-François Pilatre de Rozier and François Laurent, the Marquis d'Arlan, made the first untethered hot air balloon flight, flying 5.5 miles over Paris in about 25 minutes. Their aircraft, a hot air balloon, having been constructed by Joseph and Jacques Montgolfier. At the time, the two paper mill owners thought they had discovered a new gas. In fact, they called it Montgolfier gas, which was in reality only air, heated, and thus charged with buoyancy. So while the Wright brothers achieved the first powered flight on December 17, 1903, it was today, November the 21st, 1783, more than 120 years earlier, when man first slipped the surly bonds of Earth. Happy birthday, balloonist. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.